Welcome to the Helping Families Be Happy podcast, where we explore the often messy world of family love and relationships. I'm your host for this podcast, Christopher Robbins, the co-founder of Familius Publishing, husband, father of nine, author, fly fisherman, and backpacker based in the beautiful Central Valley of California. We hope to bring you nourishing, real-life information about love, family, relationships, and life. I'm happy to introduce today's guest, Christopher Menino. Now, Chris, his writing journey began when he was stranded on the Cornish coast at the supposed birthplace of King Arthur. The experience inspired his book trilogy, The Scythe Wielder's Secret. He studied mythology, theater, and literature, both in the U.S. and at Oxford. A former theater teacher, he now lives in Delaware with his wife and two inspiring children. He continues to write both fiction and nonfiction for children and adults. In addition, as a freelance writer, he is most known for his work with Business Insider, where he has amassed over 4.5 million readers. Today, we're exploring how to transform our parent-child relationships through play. This podcast aligns with the Familius habit, Play Together. You can learn more about the Familius 10 Habits of Happy Families by going to the Habit Hub blog on Familius.com. For the video of this podcast, please go to the Familius YouTube channel. Now, Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be with Familius.
So, play. Help us understand first. We're talking about transforming our parent-child relationship through play. Give us some background and some context in which that we can launch this discussion.
Sure. So I was a former theater teacher. And then for seven years, I left teaching and I became a stay-at-home dad. And the time, both as a teacher and as a kid, really shaped how I, as a parent, I mean, really helped shape how I viewed playtime and how important it is. And I started noticing the more I talked to other parents, other stay-at-home parents, other parents in my wider network, the more I noticed that some of the stuff that came naturally for me as a theater person and as a former teacher weren't just natural and easy to everybody. And that really comes down to that, the way that you play with your kids. Not everybody plays with their kids the same way. And so part of my goal as an author is I want to teach parents how to connect better with their kids, making sure you have that dedicated time every day, if you can really invest in it. I advocate 10 minutes every single day and just putting all your attention on your kid. All their attention is naturally on you already. And then if you just do a couple little theater tricks with that, the play becomes different. It's not just playing toys. It's not just playing checkers. It's something organic. It's something deeper. It's something real. When I talk to my oldest is almost 8, and I talk to him about things he remembers, and he has this astounding memory going back 4 or 5 years. And he will remember these play sessions. He will remember hunting dragons in the woods. He will remember building a restaurant, just a makeup restaurant for the imaginary people we were hoping to entertain during the pandemic. All of these wonderful things have become core memories, to borrow the phrase from Inside Out, core memories for him. And that's really special to him and to me. And I think it's going to be special to any adult who can sort of try this and play more strongly with their kids.
Okay. So we're talking about let's engage with our kids, let's be in the moment, let's play. You talked about some theater tricks. So give us an example of a couple of theater tricks that will help us engage with our children in a play atmosphere.
Absolutely. And I didn't even realize how much of what I was doing was naturally theater until I was hearing people complain about Bluey, I'll admit, and they were saying, this is unrealistic. And that show, massively popular show, I noticed right away, every episode was just a different improv game. And then I started looking at how I played with my kids. And I have a son and a daughter. And the more I was thinking about the way I interacted with them, the more I realized I'm doing improv too. This is just sort of natural to me. So what I'm trying to advocate in the upcoming book is I'm really looking at teaching some basic improv skills. The most well-known improv skill out there is saying yes and. And what that means is if the kid suggests something, you instantly accept and add to it. And that alone is sort of out of the box for a lot of parents. So the kid comes up to you, their arms are stretched out and they're flying. They're like, I'm on my way to Mars. The sort of natural instinct for a lot of parents is to be like, no, you're in the kitchen, or no, I don't have time for this, or I'll get back to you. I'm in the middle of some sort of conversation, some variant of no. And the radical difference is what happens if you just say yes? Kid comes up to you, arms outstretched, I'm on my way to Mars. You're like, of course. And, you know, don't forget this crystal power pack, you know, whatever. You're adding to it, you're accepting their ideas. And this idea of acceptance to them is really powerful because they're being like, wow, I have these ideas. And here's my parent or my caregiver or my teacher. And they're not just hearing me, but they like this idea. They want to play along with it. And then you're suddenly playing along with it. And to go back to the improv, full improv is constantly saying yes and, yes and, yes and. When I was a theater teacher, I led an improv troupe. One of my favorite improv moments, we did what's called a long form improv. You can do full shows and stuff. And this was just a rehearsal. This was with my improv team. It was me and 9 teenage improv students. And we did a single improv that lasted just over 2 hours. And it was one story. And it had backstories and things that came out and character development. And when I look back at that memory, I mean, that's a movie length. And none of it was scripted. None of it was planned. None of it was rehearsed. None of it was written down. All just spur of the moment. How on earth can you do that? It's actually the same skill with you saying yes to your kid to go on a space adventure with them. That same skill creates these intense play sessions that really can be transformative.
Okay. So I love yes and. Now, give us another example of something that you can do where you engage with a theater trick to help play with your kids. And then I'd like to talk about what does this do in the relationship?
Yeah, so what it does is it's transforming who you are as a parent. It's transforming playtime. One of the other core things that I've talked about, and I actually just gave a speech about this in my church on Sunday, is this totally separate theater trick I use. This is based on a guy named Konstantin Stanislavski way back in the 1900s. And he has this trick called emotional recall, which most people know as method acting. And what I pull from that is this technique of using an anchor. And this is a big part of my approach towards interacting with kids. Because as we go, whether it's playtime or even just our daily lives, there's kind of all this stuff around. There's the news, and there's the financial worries, and there's the personal worries, and what am I going to do for work today? And, you know, when you're in the playtime, it's the same kind of thing. You're here, you've got these 10 minutes, and how are you going to focus just on this kid? My phone is going to buzz at any second, and I've got this thing, and I got to go get the laundry, and yada, yada, yada. So the ability to focus, I tie it to this anchor technique, which is really just emotional recall. And what I'm asking people to do is to find a core memory, something really, really strong and really, really positive. So for me, for example, a month ago, I was having a break between clients and I decided to substitute teach. And I went in and I substitute taught at my daughter's preschool. I was the gym teacher. It was a fun day. And it was actually the only time I've ever taught in one of my kids' classes directly. And it was really sweet to see her. But the real intense memory came that I was putting her to bed and she just looked up at me with these eyes bigger than dishes and this huge smile. And she just said, Daddy, you're the bestest teacher I ever had. I love you, Dad. And that moment, that intense joy for me and pride, really, that became an anchor. So the next time that I went to go play with the kids, and there was actually just the very next day, a whole bunch of stuff happened work-wise, a whole bunch of negative stuff. And I had read the news, and there was a whole bunch in the news that was bothering me. And my wife was having some stuff at her work. And so there's all of this stuff. I call it the storm. There's all of this storm going on. Well, I grabbed my anchor. As soon as I dove into playtime with my kid, I started focusing on that pride and joy of when she had said, "I love you, Daddy." And instantly I'm there and I'm much more present in the playtime. It's a tool. It's a technique that actors have been using. This is how you recreate an emotion on stage. This is what method acting is all about. But it works. It works in parenting. It works in playtime. Couple that with yes and an improv skill, and boom, you've got some really fun, intense stuff going on.
Let's bring it to have some real scenarios. You're home, your child comes in, he or she, they've had an angry day, you're not happy with school, they've got all this homework to do, and they're kind of grumpy, and all of a sudden we need to change the dynamic, because that can spiral out of control really quickly, where nothing's productive and the whole household is not having a great moment. So give us some tips. As a parent, what can we use in yes and method acting to immediately try to change that dynamic?
I'll tell you, you need your anchor in that dynamic. That's the type of situation that you're clinging to it on the inside. So I'm clinging to that because there might be some rough seas ahead. So I'm going to cling to that on the inside. I'm going to start saying yes and. One of the differences between traditional improv and the way I'm advocating is you're not going to be like equal partners like in a traditional improv scene. You are a guy. You are sort of a coach in a way. So if they're not into it, it's your job to step it up. That's actually something you really can do. So the sillier you start being, the bigger you start doing. If they're not saying yes or they're not adding choices, you start throwing some choices in there. We actually just had a moment like this in my house. It was like just yesterday or the day before. And my daughter was just, she just laid down on the ground. And she's like, I'm not doing anything. You know, one of those moments. She's four. But it's fine. And we needed to get her out the door because we were trying to go somewhere. And, the incentives weren't working. The talking to her wasn't working. So, you know what? All of a sudden, it's going to take a robot. So you just move your whole body. It's like, burr, 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 and you start acting. And the more you do it, the more they forget. They forget their little tantrums, especially the younger ones. They forget the rough day, the rough school day, whatever it is that they're having. It won't always work. I'll admit it's something you got to play with and adjust. But more often than not, it really does make a difference. And the more you throw yourself into it, the faster you can lure them in. Kids are sponges. They pick up on your energy. So if you've got that fun, playful energy, as opposed to, I'm just going to stand there and shout at you until you do what I want. That's not going to do anything. But if you can play with them and play and make it silly and make it fun, keep it fresh, keep adding until they start adding with you, it does work.
I remember that. I remember my oldest son would periodically start acting out when he was younger, and my stepmother would watch him, and she'd let it get to a certain point, and then all of a sudden she would go,
yep,
like this bee was going, and all of a sudden he just stopped and was looking at where she was pretending there was this bee, and it completely changed his dynamic. It was magical to watch.
It is magical, but like that distraction and that shift in energy really does make a difference.
Okay, well, let's close a little bit by talking about an upcoming book you have. So you're taking this concept of play, using techniques you've learned in theater, and you're applying it to a book to help us as parents strengthen our relationships with our children through play. Kind of give us an overview of what we should anticipate when we read your book.
Absolutely. So Making It Up comes out next year through you guys. Making It Up, A Revolutionary Way to Bond with Kids Through Play. It's really fun. It's a blend of anecdotes and kind of walking through scenarios, but it's got, I really made an effort in every chapter. I want there to be something useful that a parent can take away. It's not going to be just like your typical parenting books are. A lot of them are, here's a lot of psychology and, you know, maybe here's one or two takeaways, or here's a lot of behavior modifications. It's neither of those. This is a fun book that is just about how to connect better, how to up your playtime, and, you know, how to up your game overall as a person too. I mentioned that anchor technique. That's definitely a big part of the book. I think it goes beyond just interacting with kids. Personally, it helps me in all aspects of life. These are just tips and tricks on ways that you and children, whether you're a parent or a caregiver or a teacher, if you're somebody who works with kids, particularly young kids, this is going to transform the way you interact with them. And it's going to take 10 minutes a day. It is work. It is something that if you want the book to really work, you got to put in the time too. But if you do it, and if you follow the guides, and I do some of the advanced rules, I go into some advanced improv stuff, and I go into some advanced actor stuff, but I always do it in a way that this is not a theater. This is for anybody. I could find somebody off the street, as long as they have a connection to kids, and be like, look, you try this, get back to me in a week, and I bet you're already seeing results. And that's what I'm excited about. I actually have a team right now who are test running the methods. That's what I keep hearing from every single person. Matter of 2 or 3 days, this is making a huge difference already.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. I can't wait. Start today by being a little bit more focused on taking time play. Yes, and let's find that anchor, that moment that we can hang on to. Well, Chris, thanks for taking time with us today. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. Where can our guests find you online?
Oh, my website is Christopher, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R, and then my last name, MANNINO.com.
Great. ChristopherManino.com. Easy to remember.
Yep.
Well, as we conclude today's podcast, I'd like to thank Familias for their support in bringing the podcast to your ears and your heart. We'd be thrilled if you subscribed to the podcast and left a review. And when you're ready for that next amazing book adventure, we'd be honored if you chose a book from Familias. One step at a time, one play at a time, we can make the world a happier place.